Here begins accession number 18448, Dr. Noel Harwood Yared.
Dr. Noel Henry Harwood Yared, Reel 1.
My name is Dr. Noel Henry Harwood Yared, date of birth 6-12-08. I lived at High Wycombe, which was a country town specializing in woodwork and chair making. My father was also a doctor in High Wycombe. My father and mother probably met when my mother was a nurse at St. Mary's Hospital in London. During the war, my father remained at home and was looking after war-wounded soldiers in addition to carrying on his very busy general practice. On one occasion, my father did take me to Clevedon, which was the Astor home, which had been turned into a convalescent home for soldiers. And I have quite vivid memories of these wounded soldiers in their blue uniforms and red ties. Of course, during World War I, we also had petrol rationing. At the time, my father had a small two-seater car, which you had to lift up the hood when it was raining. There were no windscreen wipers, and you had a rug to keep your legs warm in the winter. In those days, most of the roads were dirt roads. I well remember on one occasion my father took me to London to see my grandfather in Brixton. Brixton at that time was quite a smart suburb of London, and I can well remember the house, which had a large garden with trees growing in it. During the war, at our home in High Wycombe, we, like many others, had to have people billeted on us, and I remember that for a long period during the war, we had the Marquis of Winchester with us. Also during the war, I well remember my father organizing for me to visit a factory where one of his patients were making shells. On one occasion, my father, when he was out visiting at night on an emergency, was accused by the local village bobby of using his car for social purposes. I'm happy to say that nothing came of this. I have vivid recollections of the very nasty flu epidemic which occurred just after World War I, when more people died of it than were killed in the war. I, for one, had it, and I can remember having a very severe nosebleed. My father, of course, was quite adamant that this wasn't really just influenza, but was a serious epidemic of epidemic pneumonia. During World War I, I had my education at a co-ed school, which was the prep school for Wycombe Abbey Girls' School. There were about 50 girls at this school, and I suppose about 20 boys. Of course, at the conclusion of the war, I then went on to Malvern College. Right, well, then you could set it off again. Are you going now? Following more education at Malvern College, I was taken by my father up to Caius College, Cambridge, to see if they would have me as an undergraduate. It was rather an interesting occasion because I was interviewed by Professor Stratton, who at that time was the Astronomer Royal. And he told me that they would have me at Cambridge, provided I got my school certificates with 6 credits 1 year before I was due to go up. Fortunately, all was well. Following my education at Cambridge, I then went on to St. Thomas's Hospital in London, where I qualified in 1932. I did various minor jobs, finishing up as house surgeon to the ear, nose and throat department. In 1933, I got married, and in 1942, I was called up for military service. Initially, my rank was a first lieutenant, and I was posted to deep cut. Prior to going to deep cut, we all had to go to Church Crookham, where we had our preliminary military training. Marching about and behaving like proper soldiers. We all wore khaki battle dress during the day, and we had a proper uniform with Sam Brown belts for special occasions, particularly in the mess at night. It was while during my course at Crookham I saw at very close range a German bomber only a few hundred feet up, and saw the bomb doors open and the bombs drop out. Fortunately, they didn't they didn't fall on the camp. Of course, during the war, my wife was at home looking after our daughter, and things were difficult because there was food rationing. I, on the other hand, during the army, really didn't notice anything different. Following my job at Deep Cut, I was transferred to the Royal Military Hospital at Sandhurst, where I remained for the duration of the war. By this time I had been promoted to the rank of captain. At Sandhurst we had cadets for the Royal Tank Corps, and they were usually very fit young men. And I suppose perhaps one of my best known patients was then a chap called Sonny Blandford, who subsequently became and still is the Duke of Marlborough. I well remember, because he became unwell and was admitted to the hospital, and his father and mother came to see him and brought with them a consultant who turned out to be one of the people who had taught me at St. Thomas's. Fortunately, he shook me by the hand and reassured the then Duke that all was well and that I would look after their son properly. During the war at home, we had one Heinkel shot down fairly near, and the crew, some of whom were injured, were taken to the Old Farnham Road Hospital in Guildford. And I well remember that one of them got gas gangrene, and I expect probably died. Gas gangrene is an infection caused by a bacillus called Clostridia, which causes complications in injuries. In 1933, when I got married, we originally lived in London. And my wife's mother had a friend who knew a doctor in Godalming, and while I was out skiing in Switzerland, I received a message, would I come down and do a locum for him. We came to live at One Fir Grove in 1938 and have been here ever since. During the war, while I was away, our home was badly damaged by a flying bomb which landed at the top of the garden. Our cook housekeeper, who we still had, was standing at the end of the passage and was blown from one end to the other. Fortunately for me, I had sent my wife and daughter up to stay with her sister in Cheshire so that nobody was injured in this incident. During the war, of course, we had leave every so often, and I was granted a certain amount of petrol, and I had a small BSA motorbike which enabled me to get home occasionally and see the family. Initially, my earnings as a lieutenant were 19 and sixpence a week. With a wife and child to support, that didn't go very far. After 1 year, my wages were increased to 25 shillings. My wife looked after our daughter, Joanna, who was born in 1943, and also she did voluntary work in a canteen for soldiers, several hundred of which were stationed in the vicinity. I vividly remember an air raid one night when I heard a plane coming in. It was dark, and as it passed overhead, I heard the bomb doors open and heard the bombs start whistling, and they came, these bombs dropped at St. Catherine's just outside Guildford, probably aiming for a tunnel. I'm glad to say they missed. A few bombs fell around Godalming, but I don't think anybody was really hurt. At the end of the war, I went to see Sir John Jarvis, our Member of Parliament, and asked him whether he could hurry up my demobilisation. And I'm happy to say that within a fairly short time, I was back at home. My wife and I sat at home. We had £30 between us in the bank, and wondered if we would get any patients. Within a fortnight, I must say I was run off my feet. However, I continued on my own until 1967, when I joined my practice with others in the district. At the conclusion of the war, I was still at Sandhurst, and I don't remember anything very dramatic happening, except there was just a sense of relief. As regards treating patients during the war, there was absolutely no shortage of painkillers, plenty of morphia. Of course, there were no antibiotics, but there was a chemotherapeutic agent, Prontosil, and also May and Baker 693. This had pretty horrid side effects, such as nausea and feeling generally ill, but did in fact reduce the mortality from pneumonia from some 30% down to about 5%. During the war, soldiers suffering from battle fatigue were sent to St. Peter's Hospital at Chertsey, then known as Botley's Park, and also other patients were sent to Roffey Park near Horsham, which was a rehabilitation unit. You ask about General Patton's attitude towards battle-stressed soldiers. Of course, it was totally wrong and very unkind. Whether it did any good or not, I wouldn't like to say. How's that? Talked about the general election immediately after the war, how the socialists immediately got in, and we thought that it was all to do with a thing called ABCA, which was a thing called Army Bureau of Current Affairs, which was very active amongst the soldiers during the war, and they were all preaching socialism, and that's why all the troops voted. At least that's what we thought.